1500 KSTP. From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or good morning, as the case may be, and welcome to yet another edition of Coast to Coast AM, live talk radio throughout the nighttime, covering, spanning an area from the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains in the west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south all the way to South America, north to the pole, and worldwide on the old grand internet, the free internet. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Good morning. Welcome, WCKY, Cincinnati, Ohio. Great to have you on board. 550 on the dial in Cincinnati. We've been a while waiting for that one. Cincinnati, Ohio, welcome to the program. All right, we are going to cover all kinds of topics tonight. Basically, it is going to be open line city. So anything you want to talk about is going to be fair game. There is a lot going on. Now, it's hard to know what to open up with. I suppose the Holyfield-Tyson fight, as you all know by now, Tyson bit off a goodly little portion of Holyfield's ear. Tyson says, or said earlier, it was revenge for a second-round headbutt that was not called by the ref. And now Tyson has apologized to the entire world. Interestingly, in earlier fights, you know, when the fight would end early, the people who paid the big bucks to sit up front all wanted their money back. Remember that? And they all want their money back, and they scream and they yell and they have riots to get their money back because they don't think they got their money's worth, knockouts in 30 seconds of the first round or something like that. And in this event, horrible though it was, without redeeming value though it was, almost nobody wanted their money back. In other words, they think they got their money's worth. So I think that all of this revisits not the questions that the press is dealing with, because I never really think what they think. I think it revisits questions about the nature of violent sports in America. You know, sure, it was unsportsmanlike. You're not supposed to bite somebody's ear off. But we are, at our very base, a violent society. As a matter of fact, even I watch the Ultimate Fighting Championships before they begin to wuss out. So, when you think about violence in sports, and there's plenty of it, I love football. That's very violent. Very violent. Is violence isn't it kind of cathartic for us to see? Or does it actually promote violence to see it? I haven't made up my mind about that yet. But I'm not going to sit here and, if you'll pardon the expression, chew over the question of what Tyson did. I would rather chew over the question of why nobody wanted their money back. And I think the reason is because they enjoyed it. And I admit to it. When I see a good football game, there's nothing like a good hit. When you see a boxing match, you're not going there to see them dance. You're going there to see them beat the hell out of each other, if at all possible. I mean, I'm being honest, I think. And that's what violence is all about in sports. Now, cathartic? or does it promote violence in society? I'm not really sure. But I think that is the proper question for us to chew over. I watched, because, of course, of the nature of the hours that I hold here, I watched the return of Hong Kong to the communist Chinese. After 156 years of British rule by lease. And I watched the celebrations, and CNN was showing split shots of Tiananmen Square and Beijing and all the fireworks going up and all the rest of it. And the celebrations and the Chinese were all happy and bubbly, and I was simply sad. I was in Hong Kong 2 years ago, and I'm really glad that I went then. And I'm not sure that I would want to go now. And that's the only emotion I can tell you I felt as I watched the ceremonies. A very solemn, hard to agree on, but they came off basically without a hitch, and the British stiff upper lip in place handed back Hong Kong. By the way, the Chinese, within hours now, have put on a rather blunt military display. Thousands of Chinese troops rolled into Hong to take defense of the island. The troops began arriving after a midnight ceremony in which Britain's Prince Charles, very stiff upper-lipped, handed the bustling capitalist territory to the president of communist China. It was sad as the Union Jack was lowered. Now, a lot of people are running around and they're asking, will the U.S. protect the human rights of Hong Kong residents? No, of course we won't. A lot of people are running around acting as though we gave Hong Kong back to the Red Chinese. Well, we did not. The British did. And they had to do so, legally. Now, how concerned are the Hong Kong residents about democracy? Well, it was either Meet the Press or Brinkley, I don't recall which. The priorities in Hong Kong among the people are housing, employment, law and order, education. In that order, democracy not even mentioned, but somewhere down below those four priorities. Housing, employment, law and order, and education. That's what they're worried about. So, I simply felt sad. Tried to get Emily Lau, who is no longer a lit there. I interviewed Emily Lau some time ago, and her phone rings and rings. At least it rings. That's something. A discussion of the freedom of the press and religion. 46 hours, just about here now. Permits will be for any demonstration you want to hold, and that's it, folks. I mean, Hong Kong has gone back, and I'll be glad that I had an opportunity to visit Hong Kong, because it is never going to be the same. Yeah, communists will try and keep the dollars and the pounds flow in Hong Kong, but inevitably the will lower a gray mist over this capital that is going to people's attitudes. It's going to change the bigs that were on their faces. Hong Kong was a place. And that will end. Commerce will not end. They will get going. And there will be a facade, openness for a while. But all that will slowly slip, and Hong Kong will never be the same. We apparently have had a close encounter with the an asteroid, probably you've seen it on CNN. Matilda is really the size of Rhode Island. Big rock. They obtained 500 photographs of Matilda, a satellite called NEAR, which watches for earthbound rocks. And it was very easy. Such a close look at an asteroid, and you can imagine if something like that were to enter the atmosphere, there wouldn't be much atmosphere left. On Mir, improving conditions, but still troubled, and we don't really know the whole story. The continuing controversy about Roswell, I've got a lot of about that, and I'm going to be interviewing a lot of people about that. We're going to have Colonel Corso on Dreamland this next Sunday, in part with a Linda Howe interview, and then perhaps carrying on into the show to some degree. Colonel Corso is now in his 80s, very spry, but probably not all night to come on this program. Maybe I'll repeat it a little bit on this program. Did an alien spacecraft crash in New Mexico, 1947? Well, the people in Roswell are making lots of money, $5 million a year, cottage industry. And the big weekend is coming up. Now, on the Brinkley Show, Captain John McAndrew, who authored that book, Roswell Case Closed, was interviewed, and I don't know what to say. He said it's nothing but a myth. Here's a somebody who faxed me about it. Art, I have just seen ABC's This Week with Sam Donaldson. I think I'll always call it Brinkley somehow. And company. And have come away from their interview with the author of the Air Force's research report on what really happened at Roswell, Captain Andrews, far more confused now than I was previously. Are you surprised? Part of the difficulty was the lack of reportorial follow-through to some of Captain Andrews' more puzzling assertions. One that really left me scratching my head was the lack of any follow-up questions to the captain's saying the, quote, aliens, unquote, were really crash test dummies, and later referring to some ufologists getting the date of the autopsies wrong. Will you perhaps on your Monday night show attempt to clarify why in the hell autopsies would even need to be done on crash test dummies? Also, in reference to the, quote, stench, unquote, or strong odor, Sam Donaldson said some ufologists claim to have noticed at the crash site. Andrew said that that came from the corpses of dead airmen. How'd they die if only crash test dummies were used in the tests? Very, very good question. In an old ranching town, an 80-year-old man with bushy eyebrows sits in his tidy brick house and talks about the time he saw aliens. His name is Frank Kaufman, and he does not seem crazy. He smiles often, is warmly polite, if a bit grumpy about the recent influx of UFO buffs. Said, you've got these guys coming out of the woodwork. There's people who say they've been abducted. Women claiming they've given birth to alien babies. That's just a bunch of crap, see? Kaufman tells his own story. Kaufman is one of the last remaining eyewitnesses to what occurred in Roswell in 1947. No compression time compression for Mr. Kaufman. And I should tell you that I am working on an interview with Mr. Kaufman. Again, in his 80s, but maybe we can talk him into staying up a little later. Now, I got a fax from somebody named Dan who said they just had a snowstorm in Madrid. Madrid, Spain. A snowstorm in Madrid, Spain. And again this last weekend, tornadoes in England. Tornadoes. Now, it just doesn't happen that there are tornadoes in England, but it is occurring. And I don't know about the weather where you are, but I live out here in the desert. And it's presently in, very pleasant, about the mid-70s. In the daytime, going only into the 80s. And this is just about the 1st of July. Now, think about that. Now, you may not be familiar with the territory in which I live, but it should be 110 degrees by now. The weather, I tell you, is definitely changing. There is no question about it. Short and cyclical, perhaps. Long and permanent, maybe. I just don't know. And now a little bit of news that you're not going to hear anywhere else or have not heard anywhere else. The following comes from the International Mars Watch Electronic Newsletter and was faxed to me. Dear Art, I hope all is well with family, Richard said, Richard Hoagland, that the Mars probe would have problems. Now there is a storm. How do we know this information is real? Well, this information comes from Jim Bell at Cornell University Department of Astronomy. And listen to this. Friends of Mars, HST, Hubble Imaging from a few nights ago, has detected an enormous dust storm within Valles Marineris. The dust is filling the canyon and is beginning to spill out of the eastern end, heading downhill straight for, guess what, the Pathfinder landing site. We have requested additional HST time prior to the landing this Friday, but any supporting ground-based red and blue observations so as to distinguish dust from the extensive water ice clouds now present of this phenomenon would be extremely valuable and appreciated. And that is from Jim Bell at Cornell University. So I'm not saying this will cause a delay in landing or a shifting of the landing spot, but if true, it might. It certainly might. So we'll just have to wait and see on this one. But a big storm going right into the area where Pathfinder is due to arrive on the 4th of July. Now, those of you who have web TV might go up to my website and notice a number of things tonight. Linda Moulton Howe, we bugged her for a long time. She is a reporter on Dreamland. Was once, we discovered one day, Miss Idaho in the Miss USA beauty pageant. And so for weeks I bugged her, and finally she came through with photographs. Sent them to me. And so I scanned them, and they're up there on the net right now. So if you want to see Linda Moulton Howe in her younger days, what a beauty she was, and still is, by the way, those are on the website. Or you might go up to my website and click on the studio cams. We have three cameras taking photographs of me as I do the program. I think you will particularly enjoy the shirt I'm wearing. One that every U.S. citizen should wear in any confrontation with the government anywhere. You know how they always have those jackets and shirts that say whatever they are, BATF, FBI, DEA? Somebody has sent me a T-shirt that I think says it all. It's designed to keep you alive in any domestic difficulty whatsoever. It is a black T-shirt with bright orange lettering that simply says, civilian. And so you can see me sitting here doing the program. Also, the photographs from Egypt of the secret dig going on between the King and Queen's chamber have now been annotated by Richard Hoagland, so now you will know what you are looking at. KRC, that's 888-GOLD-KRC.
Of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-33. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Here's Stephen with the first comment on the fight, and I guess this is going to be inevitable. Stephen says, ear today, gone tomorrow. That's E-A-R, ear today, gone tomorrow. It's going to be inevitable, I suppose. Hawaii is shaking. An earthquake shook the entire island of Hawaii at about 0547 this morning. 547 for everybody else in the morning. The earthquake had a preliminary estimated magnitude of 5.3 to 5.5. That's pretty good size. And, of course, was no doubt associated with Kilauea. And I'm telling you, Hawaiians, right now, it's either a few virgins or your island. You guys make up your mind. 5.5, huh? When was the last virgin tossed into a volcano? And could this be the reason we're having much more volcanic activity worldwide? I suppose not. Anyway, here we go. Open lines. Anything you guys want to talk about, fair game. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Top of the morning to you. Well, if I've got the right button pushed, hello there. Going, going, gone. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
What?
Hello there.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Yes, hello.
Okay.
Turn your radio off. That's number one. Good. Tell us where you are. That's number
Am I on?
On what?
On the Art Bell Show?
Well, yes. I'm the only one here, so...
Oh, God. Okay. I want to know if you've ever heard of a book, Our Mysterious Spaceship Moon?
No.
Okay, it's, you haven't heard of it?
No.
Okay. Well, it's a theory, it's a Russian theory. It's a really old book. And it's a theory that the moon is hollow.
Well, it may be.
And that, you know, the reason one of the clues that they give you is because, you know how craters would be concave in the Earth? A crater on the moon, it pops back out, so it becomes concave. You know, it's like if you poked a hole in a ball, and it went, and it poked in, and then poked out again.
Like an Audi belly button?
Yeah. Anyway, it boings back out.
Boings out.
Yeah, you know, so that's one of the, it's a Russian, I don't know who wrote this, but, I mean, I know who wrote it, but it's a Russian theory that the moon is hollow. And they have a whole bunch of reasons why.
Well, maybe the Earth is hollow.
No,
well, what do you mean, no? How do you know?
Well, I think they know it's not.
Well, no, they don't. No. And they actually don't. They've been down only so far. They don't know what's down there in the middle.
Mm.
Molten something,
no,
or a solid iron core, or maybe hollow.
No, this theory is that it's got 2 miles of dust, and that it's a sphere, a hollow sphere.
Didn't you see Journey to the Center of the Earth with Pat Boone?
No, okay, here's another reason why they think it is. It crescendos when you hit it. And the only thing that crescendos is a sphere.
What it actually does here is vibrate. They intentionally, crash some spacecraft into the moon, and they found that it continued vibrating for a long, long time. on my international line. You are on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Fine. Where are you?
Canada.
You're in
Alberta.
Alberta, Canada. All right.
It's our birthday tomorrow.
Canada's birthday.
Yes, tomorrow. Or today, depending on where you are.
Well, where you are, it's going to be tomorrow.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I've been sending you a bunch of emails. I'm from a government worker.
You are a government worker in Canada.
Yes. Okay. Yes, and I've been sending you emails all the time on various topics. Couple things. David Oates, he has a good thing going.
Yes, he does.
Richard C. Hoagland, I think he's going to miss on this one, on the landing on the 4th. I think it's going to go through.
Well, it may, but there is a storm in the area.
Yeah, I heard that. That's strange, but I think he's going to miss on this one.
Well, he may.
And Major Ed Dames.
Yes.
I think he missed on all of his.
No, he didn't.
He missed on most of them.
No, he missed on, as far as I know,
The A-10. He missed on that one. And
that's the only one I know of. And he only guaranteed that at 80%, if you recall.
And I think he's going to miss at the one coming up in springtime of next year.
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, thank you. To be fair, you can call them when they're missed, but don't call them before they're missed. And that also applies to Richard Hoagland. Now, Pathfinder may come down as scheduled on the 4th. But there is a tremendous storm raging on Mars. And I wonder, I'm assuming that's true. I mean, that's from the Hubble telescope. And if that is true, and Cornell University, if that is true, and I presume it is, I have no reason to believe it isn't. A, I wonder why the press is not talking about it. And B, I cannot help but wonder if it will not affect NASA's schedule to bring Pathfinder down. Pathfinder has a great deal more fuel on it than is required. And they still have time to certainly change when it will come down and where it will come down. So, you may be right and he may be wrong. It'll just be a few more days and we'll all know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. This is Jeff from Northern California.
Yes, sir.
There's another anniversary this weekend down in Hollister, California.
Hollister?
Yeah. You remember the movie The Wild One?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, that's the 50th anniversary of that happening.
Of what happening?
Of the Battle of Hollister.
The Battle of Hollister.
Yeah, the motorcycle.
Maybe I don't remember The Wild One.
It had Marlon Brando in it.
Maybe I'm thinking of Wild Thing.
Well, anyway, they're supposed to be having something like 200,000 motorcyclists there this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that should be something to stay away from.
Oh, I'm going.
Did you say 200,000 motorcyclists?
That's the estimate. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, have a great time.
Thank you, and it's a good talk to you. I've been trying for ages.
Good to talk to you. Take care. 200,000 people on motorcycles. Oh, my. Listen, while I'm thinking about it, we do have an international line. And if you are anywhere outside the USA, in Europe, Asia, South America, wherever you might be, you can call us toll-free. If you're listening on the Internet and in England or Australia or New Zealand or Asia, wherever you might be, just call up and get your friendly AT&T operator on the line and ask her to call 800-893-0903. That's 800-893-0903. It is a toll-free international line. We will pay for the call, no matter where it comes from, South Africa, China. I'm going to have to check the Internet, see if Hong Kong remains on the Internet for now. I suspect they do. For how long? I don't know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Ron in Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls, yes, sir.
I was listening last week, and you were saying something about one of the guys from the future that called. One thing had been proven true already, and you were checking into another one.
Actually, I think both came true.
Okay.
It was the time traveler.
I think it was 2035.
No, I think it was 2013 or 2017 or something like that. Originally, I thought it was 2055.
Yeah.
But the guy who predicted the sex scandal and the transportation tragedy...
Right, I hadn't heard anything more about the sex scandal other than what you said last week sometime.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was one, and then there was, of course, two transportation tragedies. One a train accident, the other the shuttle. The Mir space station.
Right. Anything more on that sex deal?
No, nothing more on that.
Not confirmed yet?
Well, there was a big one in Russia.
Oh, okay.
That was in the paper on that day.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yes, there was.
Okay, great show as always.
Now, I have his prediction here for the California Lotto.
Oh, yeah?
Which I'm not going to be sharing with anybody. Kidding. I will talk with him again. That was a special show we did here when we had something called, well, which I called the Time Line.
Uh-huh. I loved David John Oates' show the other night. That was great.
Yes, it was.
And I don't know if you know, there's now a video deck that does the same thing out.
Really?
Yeah, it's a JVC deck. It's when you play it backwards, the heads actually move to rotate so you can get the audio in reverse.
That is cool.
And it's also a hi-fi deck, so I don't know if he knows that, but it just came out this year.
Well, that's absolutely excellent. Thank you, because you could record an entire news conference and then sit there and listen to it all backwards and pick out the reversals one at a time at your leisure. It's really not that easy, though. Have you tried? You've got to listen very, very, very carefully. The reversals come, and they are of a slightly different nature than the rest of the what appears to be gibberish. Fascinating. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Will I close this radio off?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a retired aerospace design engineer.
Uh-huh.
And I worked on maybe a dozen or more major programs, space probes, Venus, Mars landers.
Yes.
Shuttle proposals and advanced aircraft. And so have a lot of my friends. And we've worked for many major companies. And once in a while we get together and compare notes. And what bothers me... I'm listening to this UFO stuff for maybe a year or more on your show.
Mm-hmm.
What bothers me, no aerospace design engineers that worked on programs have been talking. Just about everybody else has been talking. And it just sort of got me bugged to where I got a call.
Well, you're retired now, so why don't you spill the beans?
And the Cold War is supposedly over.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the secrecy was due to the Cold War. But some of my friends, when we compared notes and got talking, a lot of the things that have been questionable, people have been... not sure of or wondering about. We've talked it over for years.
And?
And one of the things, one of my friends was involved in the development of secret craft, I guess you'd call them spacecraft, that were tested in the Nevada test range.
Area 51?
I don't know for sure. He wouldn't talk about the exact area. But he said that they had developed three configurations. And these are the things that are silent. They got a lot of lights on them. And they've been observed by many people.
Including me.
Yeah, in Nevada. And he also informed me recently that there were so darn many people with cameras and sneaking around some of these sites that they moved the whole thing down to Arizona.
I heard it went to Utah.
Well,
frankly, I think it's still right where it always was, at Groom Lake.
He indicated that one of the reasons is stuff being seen around Phoenix and all that. It's not far from, I think, where I'm...
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Wouldn't it be a little brainless of anybody testing a secret craft to do it over a city of 2 million-plus people?
I've got to talk to some more people about that, but... But anyway, one of the thing that was recently seen over Phoenix was one of their configurations. It's what I would call it it's not a delta, it's really like a swept wing, like a V configuration.
All right, sir. Well, look, I appreciate all the information, but I fail to understand any logic that would drive the military, not that I credit them frequently with a lot of logic, to fly something gigantic, secret, stealth, anti-gravity, whatever you want to call it, over a major U.S. city for 106 minutes. It does not make sense. And as far as Area 51, otherwise known as Groom Lake, which nobody will talk about nor will even admit exists, I don't think it has gone to Arizona. I don't think it has gone to Utah. I don't think it's gone anywhere. I think Groom Lake is right where it always was. The facility and buildings remain. The testing continues. And the employees continue on a every morning basis to leave my little town and others and go to work up at Area 51. They've got buses right here in the morning, about 4:30. It says Area 51 right on the side. They leave the VFW right up the street. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, good morning. Hi, Art. This is Scott from Des Moines, Iowa.
Hello, Scott.
KXTK.
Yes, sir.
I had a question for you, and maybe you can mention this to Richard Hoagland the next time he's on. I met a person from Mexico who had told me about a book that was censored in the United States, and the author of the name is J.J. Benitez, and he wrote a book called The Trojan's Horse.
Never heard of it.
And there's 7 volumes of the book that were in Spanish and translated into English, and he's from Spain, and it talks about the NASA conspiracy.
What NASA conspiracy?
It talks about... different subjects about NASA, and I've seen one of the books.
Look, if they were going to censor or stop information that questioned anything that NASA was doing, Richard Hoagland would have been at room temperature a long time ago.
Hmm.
So I don't know that I buy that. I don't know of any book that really got censored in this country. A lot of times people will say things that don't sell well or are dropped because of popularity. That it's censorship, well, not necessarily. It just means the marketplace was not interested. Well, the people who are interested say, oh, my God, censorship. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art Bell.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I got through. I think it's easier to talk to the president instead of you. Art Bell, this is Marcelo. I'm calling from WFDL Studios. I'd like to congratulate you because you're being aired now an hour extra. You're starting at 1 o'clock through 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, how about that?
I'm watching a program here on TV about UFOs, and I wonder if there is UFO, why the government holds such information? Because I believe there's going to be a day that they're just not going to be wandering around. A lot of people will see that and will be proved, you know, that they really are there. You know, there's not going to be any way that they're going to hide that information.
There is no way. They really are there. Case closed. See, I can do it just like they can. I've seen 2 of them in my lifetime. Case closed. There are UFOs. What they are is a different question.
Okay, did you notice the day that you saw the sightings of a lot of airplanes flying, which usually doesn't happen? You know,
well,
people know they are there, but the airplanes don't look like from the government. But there are airplanes flying the area, which usually normally doesn't there's not such a aircraft in the area, but once there's a sighting, you see a lot of them. Have you noticed that?
No. No, I did notice. Thank you. There was a jet aircraft in the sighting that my wife and I had this last Memorial Day. It was discernible through a good high-powered pair of binoculars as a jet aircraft. I could resolve that. That thing was really trucking. But then, looking back along the double contrail that this jet was laying out, here was this round object, glowing like the sun, just about like the sun, actually. And it followed the jet aircraft for a period of time, stopped dead. I sat there for about 2 or 3 minutes, hovering, and then took off in altitude and to the south like a bat out of hell until it finally disappeared from view, even with a pair of binoculars. Now, you tell me what that was. I certainly have no idea. What it was a UFO. So I take a position somewhat different than our governments. As far as I'm concerned, UFOs are real. Case closed. Now, that does not mean that UFOs are alien craft. Case closed. It means there are unidentified flying objects. No question about it. Case closed. Now, what they are, we're going to have to wait to find out. I suspect one of these days we will. But I'm with the 8 out of 10 American people who think the government knows a whole lot more about this than they're telling us. And anybody who bought the explanation laid out by Colonel Haynes the other day, well, they're a bunch of crash dummies, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, lots on Roswell in the next week. I'm Art Bell, and this is CBC. I'm